The first reading is written in the book of the prophet Hosea. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to the images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us read Psalm 90, 12 through 17, responsively. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is written in the first epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as the breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled his accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. This master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is, what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put your money on deposit in the banker, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him, and give it to the man who has the 10 talents. For whoever who has will be given more. And he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be given, taken from him, and thrown at worthiness, servants outside in the darkness, for there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I see a lot of people here today that I have seen in this congregation since the first Sunday my wife and I joined. You were here long before I came. And I know these two, Earl and Ida, were the first ones to jump and grab and introduce themselves to us and find out where we were from, what we were doing. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had somebody tell you something that you really didn't understand till later? Huh? Sure, we all have. Might have been the next day. Might have been a few weeks later or a few months. And if you're like me, it sometimes could be years. Growing up on a farm in South Dakota as a very small boy, my father was going to build a new building for chickens, a new chicken house. And I didn't understand all the things, but I know, Leon, you were raised on a farm in South Dakota, and Earl was too, that one of the worst jobs there is picking rocks in the field. It's the most boring thing there is. And whenever father tells you to go do that, you wonder what you've done wrong. Well, I had gone with my father, even at this little age, and had gone to the field, and we had picked rocks, and we were bringing them. Now the carpenters came to start building the chicken house. They formed up the foundation. They began to pour the cement. One of the men in the carpenters I knew, the church, Russell, a quiet man, small in stature, big in heart. Russell was a Norwegian. But he raised good watermelons. That's what I remember. But while they were pouring the cement, I watched my father and Russell, going behind the other men and dropping the rocks in the foundation. I go to them and say, why are you doing that? You know, being where a little 3 or 4 or 5 year old at that time, I don't remember for sure, should not be in the lake. But they stopped. And they said, these will make the foundation strong. Russell turned to me and said, building will never fall with a strong foundation. I didn't understand what he meant at that time. Today I think I do. And I'd like to share it with you. In fact, I brought a friend with me today. My rock. But you know what? This rock is just like you and I. It's an individual. There is not another rock in this world just like this one. This rock has, you would say, character. But it's different colors. Just like you and I, with the different colors of skins of the human race, whether it be red or yellow, brown, white, or the colors of our hair and the colors of our eyes, we're different. This rock is smooth in some places. Just like when we're small. We don't seem as smooth as a baby's body, but our skin is soft and smooth. Then there's rough spots. Just like when we get older, our skin begins to wrinkle and our hair turns gray. This rock is just like us. And there are sparkling spots in the rock. Just like you and I. When we're happy, and we're smiling, and our eyes are twinkling. It's just like us. And also just like us, this little rock is a part, was a part, of a bigger rock. A bigger picture. Just like you and I are members of a bigger thing. Not just humanity, not just San Diegans, but Christians. I'm going to set him up here so he can watch everybody. If you look in the Bible, and I have searched several Bible dictionaries and several different Bibles, and they will all list a few places, but none of them list them all. There are over 100 places in the Bible that the word rock is used. First of all, they're used in a sense of the physical sense, as we know it. A place. One of the first places the word rock is used is in the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter, the 6th verse. It is there at that time, after the Israelites have left Egypt. They're in the wilderness. They have no food. They have no water. And they are upset, to say the least. And Moses goes to the temple, prays, and God commands him to take the elders with him. They go, they're now in the mountains of Horeb, and God commands him to go to a rock and to stand on that rock. While he's on that rock, he says to the elders, blasphemous people, Do you not trust? Do you not believe? And he raises his staff and knocks it twice on the rock. And water comes gushing out. We also use the word rock as a place of safety and dwelling. It's talked about that the animals live in the rocks. And in certain areas of the Bible at that time, it even talks about where the people, for shelter and safety, live in the rocks. It means they're living up in the mountains and in caves. These are physical things. Rock is also used symbolically in the Bible. In Deuteronomy, fortress and shelter is called the rock. Moses speaks of this in the book of Deuteronomy, the Psalms of Moses, many times. In the Psalms, David, throughout the Psalms, uses the word rock as strength and safety for us all. The Lord is my rock. He shall not fail. The book of Isaiah uses the word rock. By the way, have any of you read the book of Isaiah lately? It's an interesting book. The book of Isaiah is actually a mini Bible, all in its own. The first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah are filled with the judgments against the people of Israel. And guess what? There are 39 books in the Old Testament. The 27 remaining books of the book of Joshua declare the message of hope and declare that a Messiah, a Savior, is coming. There are 27 books in the New Testament. We all remember, too, Jesus using the word rock in parables. The sower who cast his seed upon the soil, that fell on the rocks, sprouted, but due to no place for its roots to go, it withered and died. Christ also used the term rock in relationship with the man who built his house upon the rock. And it withstood all the trouble, all the trials and tribulations. But the man who built his house on the sifting sand, his house fell. It was not strong enough to be supported. In Matthew 16th chapter, the 18th verse. As Christ is foretelling to the apostles of his upcoming death, Peter says, Lord, you are the true Son of God. You are the Messiah. I believe in you. Christ's response to him was, Peter, these words have come to you, not just because of what you have seen and what you have heard, but they have come to you as words of true faith from God, our Father. And upon you, Peter, you will be the rock of the new church, church of God. Cornerstone. is always a part of every building, a cornerstone. You know where the cornerstone started, how it came about? It is the celebrated stone, the precious stone. Back at the time, in fact, cornerstone is Latin, which means the perfect stone. When temples and huge public buildings were being built, all the stones would be brought together. All of the stone carvers would come along and they would all carve a stone to make it the best. That all the angles were perfect, all the edges were smooth. And then the master builders would come along and they would choose that stone that was the best of all. And that person would then be able to be called the master cutter for that building. And it was a great honor because it was from his stone, the first one laid, that all the rest of the measurements would be taken. Today, cornerstone is basically a symbolic type of thing. Pretty much most of you know where the cornerstone is for our church. If we don't, seek it out. It tells a little history of the church. It tells where things started, what has happened since. Christ is referred to as the cornerstone of the church. It was built upon the apostles and the prophets. Guess what? The foundation of our church is also us. You and I. We can be cornerstones also for the church. Not necessarily a physical, but that spiritual cornerstone. All we have to do is do what Jesus asked us to do. Be a cornerstone. Be the strength. Be the one that everything is measured by. Amen. Let us continue with our hymn of the day, hymn number 774.